This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, the importance of puppy training and what is an Iggy? You'll find out. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, did you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the thedoggydiva.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. I'm here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting. And for those of you that may be adopting puppies or bringing puppies into your life, one of the first things that I think that we should be aware of is how we train them or what to train them or the importance of training them. So, Monica, can you share with us like the importance of getting our puppies trained?
Absolutely. So, as a puppy, they are completely moldable at that age. So it is the key time to start training. And so many pets, unfortunately, that do not get that time and that training aspect end up being the dogs that are getting rehomed or ending up in shelters or just too much for that particular owner to handle. And tell people that training is literally worth its weight in gold, because if you get them young and you train them, that will be a lifetime of a well-mannered, well-socialized, great foundation for a relationship with your pet. So to start, all dogs benefit from learning and practicing daily. So if you could carve out any time, especially when they're young, to even 5-10 minutes a day, keeping it interactive, keeping it fun. If you are stressed on that particular day, it will not go well trying to do the dog, so skip it. You know what I'm saying? Be in a good state of mind to be positive and really work with that pet, because dogs are so sensitive to our emotional states. So it's keeping it fun, keeping it interactive with that happy praise and the treats, and they will quickly learn how to pick up on what you're doing. Because if it isn't going well, or they're not understanding, or you're getting frustrated, they're going to pick up on that stress. And then sometimes what you're telling them to do, they will see as a stressful thing, like you don't want them to do it. And that can confuse them even more when they're trying to learn new things. So just basic, teaching the fundamentals to your pet, house training. You know, I always try to tell people to have some kind of verbal cue. Like in our house, it's go potty. So anytime, you know, they go out, it's go potty. They need the words go potty. They know what it is. You say it over and over when they do it. When the pets actually go outside and go potty, I'll tell them their specific name. Good girl, Olive. Good go potty. So that way they learn that good girl, go potty. They know what it means when it's repeated over and over and over, and reinforced with positive treats. In our house, we usually just pick one treat that they really like, and we only use that treat during training time. So they know they only get that special treat when they're thinking and focusing and really, you know, doing a good job at what they're supposed to be learning. Of course, when they're young, you know, if you're home with them and everything for amount of time, take them out on a schedule and as often as possible. If you can get them out even once an hour, like every hour on the hour, just take them out. So that way they don't have a chance to have accidents in the house. And as soon as they go potty, you know, great, good job, use the name, use the treat, the, you know, lots of happy praise every time they do it. And then they'll start, you know, corresponding that go potty word. So that way when you're outside and you can tell them go potty, they know what you want them to do. Using the name recognition is a lot as far as a happy tone, praising. When they use your name, you know, when they use their name with that command, it heightens their attention because they hear their name, they get excited. And when they do good and they hear their name and that good dog, Oliver, good dog, you know, whatever your pet's name is, that reinforces that positive tone and it draws their attention to that positivity, which they're going to want to have again and again and again. So they're going to want to keep doing that good behavior. So definitely recalling it as much as possible. Basic commands with your dog are definitely where you want to start. Sitting, a sit for a dog is very important. A come for your dog is very important. Those are things, you know, if your pet ever gets away from you, if you have a dog that verbally knows the come command, getting them to retrieve instead of taking off can be huge. Another dog is walking down the road and they're not, if they're too curious and getting overly excited or pulling at the leash or getting aggressive, knowing a good sit is a great way to break all those commands. So I definitely, you know, recommend your come and your sit being things that you work with puppies from the beginning. And also doing playtime, not just with commands, but little tug of wars, little retrieves, things like that to where you're teaching your dog to interact with you, but it's fun interaction and not just all about teaching. So if you incorporate, you know, a little bit a day, even if it's 5-10 minutes at a time, all of those behaviors, and when you do them on a regular basis and stay consistent with it, you're going to have a very well-trained dog, a dog that you can bring to places and enjoy the outdoors with and have around people. And well-behaved dog just strengthens the relationship, that pet owner bond, so greatly that immensely grow your relationship in your household, that it will also on a global scale draw back the number of pets that are having to be put into rescues, unfortunately, due to behavioral issues that just simply weren't corrected as a puppy when they were moldable and trainable and receptive to that time and command.
Okay, that's so important that you bring that up. One of the first dogs that I had as an adult, my own dog, not a family dog, I had got because I was volunteering in an animal shelter, and this dog, it was a beautiful golden retriever, kept coming back and coming back, the boomerang dog. And all it took was, it was not aggressive, but it was hard for them to adopt it out. It would always come back. And we just gave it some basic guideline. I did guideline train, just the basics, like you're saying, sit, calm down, stay, just basic training, learned it very quickly. And I ended up adopting it and keeping it. But I mean, it was the best dog. And all it needs, like you said, they just need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of positive reinforcement. And it's not really hard. Like even with Sophie, when I got Sophie, the reason why no one took her was because the person said, oh, we have to tie her up outside. They used to tie her to a tree because they said she wasn't we can't potty train her. Well, when I had her within 48 hours, she was 100% potty trained. So not even 48 hours. But it depends on the way you train them, the amount of time you put into it. That's why it's so important what it is you're saying, the importance of training, whether it be puppies or even dogs, if you rescue one. The amount of time you invest in that, there's less dogs that go back to the shelters.
Absolutely. And it strengthens that. I mean, nobody goes into taking a dog into their home and does it because they want to give it up later, mm-hmm. or because they want to deal with an unruly dog. That's never anybody's intention mm-hmm. when they get a dog. But sometimes people don't realize the time commitment that goes into it, or they don't realize the importance of spending that time immediately working on training and building that relationship, to where then things escalate, they get out of control, and then it becomes too much to handle. So when people know the importance, I mean, the absolute vital importance of getting a pet trained right from the beginning, and also if it's an older dog, when they get into their home, establishing that routine, establishing those expectations almost for your pet, and teaching them and giving that good praise and giving that love and giving that rewards all in a positive manner, they respond to that so much that even an older dog can pick up on new cues.
Absolutely. And again, it's the time that you invest in spending with them. You can't get a dog and expect to just bring it into your home and have them adapt, because they're a family member. They need to know how the households run, what's expected of them. They don't know. They're just coming in and going, okay, so there's an investment in time in training, and there's an investment in time in you just being with them. So this is so important, whether it be a puppy or an adult dog. So
absolutely.
Well, Monica, this is great information, very helpful. So I thank you very much. And I hope that everyone considers now, you can, and it's easy. You can learn online. There's a lot of things out there where you could just learn how to train your dog, or take them to somewhere where there's obedience training, basic obedience training.
Absolutely. A lot of people out there, they'll be like, okay, well, I got the sit or I got the come, but I'm having a really hard mm-hmm. time with this. Or all of a sudden we've got a new behavior that I'm not quite sure how to correct. There are so many trainers. Just look in your area, ask around your veterinarian if they have a good recommendation of people that they've worked with that know they do good jobs. But trainer, that they're educated for that. They are a good source of information, because oftentimes consulting a trainer is not about just, okay, here's my dog, fix mm-hmm. this problem. It's about having that trainer educate you on what you need to do to stop that problem in your home. Because the work has to be there. A trainer can teach your dog something, but if you don't know how to, get that command from your dog, they can come home and be like, what do you mean? This is not how I learned it. So it's a lot of educating to the pet owner as to changes or routines or signals. Mm-hmm. Pets give a lot of signals, but we sometimes don't know how to understand those signals. Sometimes we have no idea our pet is signaling us in some kind of way, whether it be their tail, their hair, their ears, their eyes. There's different signals that pets can give that we're not all 100% educated on. And your pet could be signaling something and you have no clue what they're trying to tell you. So working with a trainer to kind of identify new issues is great too. And it's not just, oh my gosh, the puppy class is not going over aggression this week, but I have this issue now. Contact a trainer and do an individual session. There's trainers that can come out to your house and, they can work on your specific things.
Very helpful and very necessary. So Monica, as always, I thank you. Another great tip, great information. Thanks. And you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
We'll be back in just a minute. Hello, everyone. Susan Maria, Miss Olive here to introduce Miss Olive's third book in the Doggy Diva Diaries, the trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In the third book in the series, Miss Olive finds her forever winter wonderland. Miss Olive wonders about the true meaning of the holidays, and she discovers that the greatest gift of all is the joy of giving and sharing love and kindness with her forever family and friends. Miss Olive finds her forever winter wonderland is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, other book retailers, and on our website, thedoggydiva.com. Miss Olive and I are wishing you all a happy holiday season filled with kindness, joy, and love. Thank you, everyone. Coming up, do you know about Italian Greyhounds? We'll find out about them next. Stay with us.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, Stitcher, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast is a volunteer-run regional rescue which is operated under the umbrella of the National 501c3 Italian Greyhound Rescue Foundation. They save and rehome Italian Greyhounds throughout the states of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Formed by a group of volunteers who are breed enthusiasts and who choose to give their time and heart to save Italian Greyhounds in need, they have grown from only 5 Florida volunteers in 2010 to over 75 volunteers and now cover 4 states. We are so honored to have with us today the representative in Florida, but I think she's everywhere else too, Anne-Marie Burgess with Joey Superstar, her little Italian Greyhound, and Olive's foster brother.
Yeah, hi, Sue.
Hi, so good to have you back.
I know, finally.
I know. With all this COVID, we usually catch up every year, and it's been almost 2 years.
I know, it's been way too long.
No, this is so exciting. So, for those of you, we have Anne-Marie on. We've had all of 6 years now.
Yeah.
And we have had you on for all 6 years, sometimes more than once. And, of course, well, no, we didn't have more than 6 years because we couldn't because of COVID. But for those who may not be familiar with you, could you just tell them a little bit about yourself and also tell them a little about the breed, the Italian Greyhound?
Yeah. So, I got my first Italian Greyhound, Nico. Geez, this was 2021. It was 20 years ago. And so that was my first introduction to the breed. I actually didn't even know they existed before I happened upon him. And I just always wanted a really affectionate Velcro dog that would follow me everywhere. I grew up watching Lassie reruns, and none of our dogs were like that. They were all rescue dogs, but they were all more independent. And I got him, and he was just literally everything I had ever dreamed about in a dog. And then when I wanted to get my second Italian Greyhound, I adopted her from the rescue in Nebraska, also under the same 501c3 that we're under. And when I moved to Florida, I then started volunteering for the rescue because I was unemployed and had time on my hands. And eventually they asked me to run it. And these days I run the Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast. I'm over 4 states with 2 other absolutely amazing ladies. And we just split up all the work. And then we have just a great group of volunteers. So for people that aren't familiar with Italian Greyhounds, they are not Whippets. They are the smallest one. Every time people see Italian Greyhounds, they always go, "Is that a Whippet?" Which is funny because Whippets don't seem to be as common in Florida as Italian Greyhounds are. They look just like a Greyhound, only they're very small. They're on average about 13 pounds, but they can really range anywhere from 9 pounds to 18. You will see them on occasion larger than 18 pounds. And I actually have an Italian Greyhound home right now, and she is 5 pounds. Her name's Tiny Dancer. So they shouldn't be bred that small, but every once in a while you'll come upon one that's very, very little.
And how is Tiny doing? I know that she had a little surgery. She was actually going to be here with Joey, and she had a little surgery.
Yeah. So Tiny has, there's a genetic condition where the lens in the eye will luxate in this breed. And when that happens, you can go to an ophthalmologist and they can try and manipulate the lens to the back of the eye. If they're unsuccessful doing it, what happens is that lens luxation causes glaucoma in the eye because the ocular fluid isn't regulating properly. And so the eye will get bigger and it can cause headaches and be very, very painful. In that type of glaucoma, because it's being caused by a physical abnormality in the eye, you have to remove the eye, and that's called an enucleation. So she had an enucleation of the eye on Monday, and actually she is almost back to normal this morning. Just 6 days later, she was running around, wagging her tail, starting to do her little loops again. She likes to do loops when she's excited. And she's got a little cone on that looks like a donut. It's adorable. So she's doing really good. She's completely blind now, but, you know, dogs are very, very resilient.
They are, yep. I have Francesca at home. She's 16. She's an Italian Greyhound. She is almost totally blind, but she's fine. But we adapt to things. We got little taps, like tap on the nose means something. The tap on the behind, little tap on the behind means something. Mm-hmm. Tap on the leg means something. So she knows it's either to eat, go out, or go to bed.
Yep.
So she's like, she's fine. It's like we have to adapt to them. So, but little tiny dancer.
Yeah, she's so cute. Yeah, I have my one Italian Greyhound, Amelia, at home. She's very old now, and she just started losing her hearing. But her sight is okay. She can see like very large hand movements. So she's been learning hand movements for eat, come inside, go out, stuff like that. And that's been helping her out.
Well, that's with all, because all's 14. So she... Mm-hmm. She's her vision's going a little bit and her hearing's going a little bit. Of course, whenever I go near the treats, you see, she seems to like them alive. But yeah, so we do like the same little things with her so that she's pretty. I mean, they adapt and we have to adapt to them. Speaking of that, what? And I just had someone yesterday. We were out and we had Olive, and of course, I have her in her little carrier, and she pokes her little nose out, and everybody like loves her. And they always say to me, now, are they like wild? Do they like run around a lot? Are they like a terrier? And they go, not so much. Mm-mm. But what are their personalities like?
So once they get older and calm down, you know, they're actually quite the opposite. They do get the zoomies from time to time where they want to run and run. But that might only happen a few times a day. Some Italian Greyhounds are more playful than others. Quite often, there's a lot of sleeping under covers or in snuggle sacks. They like to sleep under things. They like to be with their people. So if you're on the couch, they want to be with you. If you're in the house, they want to be with you. When they're young puppies, I always tell people, for your first Italian Greyhound, maybe see if you can get an adult. Unless you're a very young person or you just have a lot of energy and a lot of time, because Italian Greyhound puppies, you never know what you can get. And there's a very good probability you could get a puppy that just has energy for days and never calms down. And they just run and run and run and they're crazy. But once they get a little bit older, about 3 years old or so, they grow up and they just want to be with their people. So like Tiny, during the pandemic, I went from working in an office to working from home. And I foster dogs, and then I have my own Italian Greyhounds. And so the dogs, during the day, I can have meetings on Zoom. They would be great. They're just sleeping in their beds, so well behaved. And Tiny started doing this thing where she would wait till I was in a Zoom meeting, and she'd go and start waking the dogs up by, like, popping them on the face with her paw or barking at them, and then she'd get all the dogs barking. So I didn't know what to do, so I got a squirt water bottle. So I'd like have the squirt water bottle and I'd squirt. Then that worked for probably a week. And then she figured out if she went to the back of the house and woke up the dogs in the back of the house, it was out of range. So one day I had like 6 hours of meeting. So I just grabbed a dog bed and I stuck it on top of my desk with a blanket and I popped her little butt in there and I said, you're just going to be on the desk. And she was perfectly well behaved all day long, perfectly content. And the next day, when I went to sit at my desk, she came up and started like tapping me on the foot.
Get my bed up there.
Get my bed. And so for since the beginning of the pandemic, probably only a few months into the pandemic, when I'm working, she is in her dog bed, and that's where she wants to be, and she's perfectly well behaved. She just wants to be near me, and then I have other dog beds on the floor, and a lot of the dogs want to be there in those dog beds. They just want to be near you. That's her personality.
You know, Amory, I got to tell you something. I had Zoom calls, and the first one, I had them, and they're sound asleep, and I'm going, oh, okay, I'm in this other room, and they'll never even hear me,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, I have Francesca come over, then I have Coco come over, and then Olive's like talking, and I go, oh my goodness. So I literally had to say, could you excuse me for a minute? And the only way I could stop it, I had to bring all of their beds in, and they were all laying around my feet
yeah.
at my desk, and they were all happy. They went all back to sleep. So what I did is before I did any Zoom call like you, I just said, I just might as well bring the beds in, put them at my feet. No one's going to see them.
Yep.
So I put all their beds at my feet. They came in, laid down, and they were just fine. But I mean, I was thinking, I wonder how many people knew when they were on Zoom calls with me or with you or with a lot of pet parents that their pets were like right around their feet or on the other side of the desk.
Yeah, no, it's so funny. Like I was on a Zoom meeting the other day, and this lady has a big dog. I'm not sure if it was like a Great Dane mix, and the dog started barking. She goes, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's okay. I have dogs. She goes, oh, how many dogs do you have? And I said, well, today I have 10 in my house. What? I haven't heard a peep out of them. And I said, because my dogs are better than your dogs. No, I'm joking.
But people, I think how many people I've talked to and they don't even know what's going on at my feet.
I know. It's so funny because they can only see
yes!
just from the neck
yep.
up.
Yep. And it's the perfect background and everything's perfect. And I go, if you only know what was going on below here. But yes, you got Olive. Olive's going, hey, Ma, I was really good, so I just have to be next to you.
Yeah.
So now speaking of their energy level, people – and I don't know whether because they're so streamlined or people will sometimes say, are those little greyhounds? People get them and think maybe they could be my exercise buddy mm-hmm. and jog. How are they like for exercise and jogging?
So they're great for walks, like very long walks. I can go for I do long walks all the time. I will walk from my house all the way to downtown St. Petersburg.
Wow.
You know, so long walks, you can even do, you know, 5-mile walk with these Italian greyhounds. They're fine for that. As long as, you know, obviously down south, we've got to worry about temperature and the heat coming off the pavement and stuff like that, you know. So in good temperatures, normal weather conditions, walks are great. Very, very short jogs, like maybe 1/4 mile to 1/2 mile is good. They're not running dogs. So they're sprinters, but they can't keep up running for long distances. And that can actually create health issues for them later on in life with arthritis and stuff like that. So they're sprinters. They're not like they'll sprint and get the zoomies and run around for maybe 10 minutes or at the dog park. That would be an occasional situation where they're running on and off. But it's not, they're not a daily jogging dog.
But there's still, it's for someone looking for a lifestyle partner. I mean, they love walks. I mean, mine love walks. I mean, Olive goes in a carriage. She's
yeah.
a little carriage, but she like wants to see what's going on in the hood. She like looking around the neighborhood going, okay, I know that dog. I know
yep.
that dog. Because none of us know the parents' name, pet parents' names, but we all know the dog's names.
Oh, yeah.
And then I have my other two that, you know, just sprint along with us, even though Franny's a little elderly. She likes the walk. And
mm-hmm.
we'll go on a little walk and then go home. But they love it.
Yeah, no, they love going on walks. They love going out with their pet parents. I actually just recently invested in a carriage for some of my older dogs as well because they love going out on those walks. But, you know, sometimes when they get older and they have arthritis, they can't do it. They can't even do more than, you know, 3 or 4 blocks. So walks are just great. They love being out downtown. I mean, I take them everywhere with me. If you train, the biggest thing about Italian Greyhounds is they can go with you and go anywhere and do anything with you. As long as you just have to train them to be well behaved, which for the most part is just don't bark at other dogs and don't mm-hmm. bark at people.
Yeah.
They're very well behaved kids. You just have to teach them, watch the barking with some of them. A lot of them aren't inclined to bark at other people and dogs, but every once in a while there'll be an Italian Greyhound that's a little barky.
Well, we know that Joey Superstar is a legend in St. Pete. Yeah. And Joey does the bar and the club circuit. And
yes, he does.
He's like very very visual and he cons.
Yeah, I take him to Ferg's. It's football season right now. And Joey and I are big Browns fan. The entire Burgess pack, we all love the Browns. And so he goes with me to Ferg's. When I can go to Ferg's to catch a game and we get wings and we eat wings together and I bring his little red cup and he gets to have like half of a ounce of beer and he really likes that.
He's like one of the guys. He's Joey Superstar.
He is.
I'm here to watch the football game, guys. Mo!
Yeah, I pull out the Browns hat or the Browns jersey and he goes berserk because he's like, I'm going to get my beer. I'm going to get my wings. It's beer and wings day. Let's go do this.
I love it.
And everybody always loves them. People from all over the country, you know, if they want to watch sports and they happen to be in St. Petersburg, of course they're going to Ferg. So everybody's always taking pictures of him and stuff.
Yes, I've seen many pictures of him and he loves it. Look, he knows what we're talking about.
Yeah.
He's like going, yes.
We should watch it. We don't want his head to get too big.
I know. It's like, he's going, it's all about me. It's all about me. Now, what about their coats as far as like shedding, having them around the house? I mean, Olive is in a dress or some sort of article of clothing all the time.
Yeah.
But what about like shedding? Is there like a problem with that?
No, Italian Greyhounds don't really shed. If they have white Italian Greyhounds tend to shed more, or if they have thicker white hair around their neck, then that might shed a little more. I actually used to, my mom came to Nebraska to visit me once. My first Italian Greyhound, Nico, was a seal. So that's like a black color, like Olive. And she was in my house and she came and took me aside and she said, Amory, I've got to talk to you. And I was like, what? And she's like, are you having a medical issue? Because I'm finding eyelashes in places and I'm really concerned. She's like, let me look at your eyelashes. I just started laughing. I was like, that's Nico. I find like little tiny hairs, but they literally look like about the size of eyelashes. And then, you know, for Northern listeners, Italian Greyhounds are actually pretty popular in Nebraska where I moved from. And my one apartment alone are just one little section of the apartment. Three of us had Italian Greyhounds.
God.
Yeah, there was a set of Italian Greyhounds on each of the three floors. But it's just really about dressing them for the weather. Boots, thick jackets, fleece coat, and then also a thing called a snood is really important.
Yes.
And that is basically, it kind of looks like a sock with that's open on two ends, and you put it down over their head to keep their ears back because they can get frostbite on their ears really badly. So
we lived in New York. We had our two Greyhounds and we had that. They had the with the jackets, the booties, and the like a little the snood thing.
The snood,
like,
yeah.
Because you had to keep their ears warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Olive's going, I kind of like that I live in Florida.
I know. Florida's way better for Italian Greyhounds.
Well, we took her up to visit John's mom. We went to New York like for like two or three Christmases. And she had her big puff coat. I mean, she liked it. She thought she was cool. And we were sitting in the airport. People were like going, oh, my God, look at that little dog with her puffy jacket on. So it was like, but yeah, she kind of thought she was cool with it. But I think she kind of likes the warm weather. Joey, you'd look good in a puffy jacket. He goes, I know. I'd look good in anything.
Yes. He's got his Cubby's jacket. He also has a leather aviator jacket. It's faux leather, but we won't tell him that.
Wow.
Yeah. He loves the leather aviator jacket. He looks so cool.
He's like kind of that. He's got that rock vibe going on all the time with him. He's like got that rocker dog vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Olive's always in florals and
yeah
she looks at Joey and she goes, you're my rocker hero foster brother.
Yep.
So for those listeners who are looking to maybe adopt a Greyhound, what do you look for in potential Iggy pet parents?
Really, it's just, do they have the time to spend with their dog? You know, some people think, well, I can't get one if I don't have a yard. I can't get one if I'm in an apartment. I can't get one if I work a full-time job. You know, I mentioned earlier, I worked an office job at the office until the pandemic started. Now, luckily for me, I get to work from home forever, except for I have to go in for meetings on occasion. And a lot of people have been fortunate to end up in that situation. But before that, I had Italian Greyhounds for 18 years, and I always worked a full-time office job. It was really about making the time count when I was at home. That's why I've always, you know, if I'm out around downtown, 9 times out of 10, I have an Italian Greyhound with me because if I go out, I go places where I can take my dogs. And when I'm home, we're cuddling on the couch, we're playing, we wake up in the morning. I call it morning hugs and loves, where we hang out in bed for 10 and 15 minutes. I just pet him and we cuddle and play in bed and stuff like that. We do that at night. So really what I'm looking for in an Italian Greyhound owner is somebody that's what they want. They want a Velcro dog that's going to follow them around, and they want a companion, not somebody that's looking for an independent dog. If you want an independent dog, this is not the kind of dog for you, because they're probably going to end up having behavioral issues. Like, working class breed dogs have been bred for, you know, possibly hundreds of years, some of them, to do a certain job. Italian Greyhounds have been bred for a few thousand years to be a companion. So if they end up in a home where they're not allowed to be on the couch, they're not allowed to be in the bed, they're, you know, basically meant to be off to the side and not follow you around, that's when behavioral issues really start to happen, because they're frustrated because they feel like they can't do their job.
And that's why, I mean, I've had so many breeds of dogs I've had since I was a child. We've always had animals in the house. And I have to tell you, my first Italian Greyhound was Sophia, and it was because we did Greyhound rescue. I got a call from another part of Florida, pretty far away, and they said, "We understand you do Greyhound rescue. Would you like to foster an Italian Greyhound?" And I said, "Sure." I wasn't familiar with Italian Greyhound. Mm-hmm. I'd seen them, but I wasn't really familiar. I never had one. And when I got Sophia, she was like an entirely different breed. I'm not going to say she was frail, because Sophie wasn't frail, but she was a little dog, and she had big dog mentality. Mm-hmm. I found that this is Olive's my fourth Italian Greyhound, and each of them have their own personality, but they are so good around my home. And you know me, I'm an Italian Greyhound. I'm a hound girl.
Yeah.
And and people go, "Well, don't you think that they would jump you? You wouldn't want to leave them home?" I go, "No, my dogs are so good at home. They just snuggle in their bed, and they're like really cool. Of course, they love it when I'm home." And yeah. Like you said, that you spend time with them. So anyone who's looking to be a little Iggy pet parent out there, if you have the time to spend with them and work with them and be that loving parent that they need, because they are, as Amory very nicely calls them, Velcro pets.
Yes.
And Chuck's laughing because he knows Olive's with me everywhere, 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 everywhere. So she comes with me everywhere. Now, I have my other dogs at home. They're happy to stay home. They watch the house. They have a job.
Mm-hmm.
But Olive, she's like, "No, you're not going out without me. I have people don't know my name. They go, 'Oh, hi, Olive.'" People
That's just how
bank,
it is.
At the stores, at the restaurants. They don't care about me. They care about her. "Hi, Olive." So, yeah. So that's, if you want a life like that, we've got the dog for you. So Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast is a nonprofit organization. And when listeners go to make donations.
Yeah, so we're actually coming up on Christmas, which is Secret Santa. Our volunteer Megan runs that every year, actually for the National Rescue. So we have Italian Greyhounds all over the United States of America, where you can pick an Italian Greyhound, and each one will have wish lists. They're usually these fosters that are on this list, they are generally going to be very old fosters or maybe terminal fosters that are hospice cases that are in the homes for forever. So their forever home is their foster home, but they're still under the rescue umbrella. So all their veterinary bills are paid for by the rescue. And outside of that, usually the foster parents cover food and other stuff. If we have special circumstances, sometimes we use donations directly to us to pay for that stuff. But check out our Facebook page, Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast, and our website, Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast.org, because that is where you can find all the information on how to donate money, how to donate to our normal Amazon wish list, and obviously participating in the Secret Santa, which is super fun. A lot of people, they'll actually wrap the gifts, so you'll get random boxes with gifts wrapped. And a lot of times we put stuff on there that the dogs need, like their favorite treats, or if they need a new bed or whatever it is. And it's a lot of fun for the public to participate in. And the senior hospice dogs that were given up that now are in their rescue forever home with a foster parent, you know, it's great for them. So, I mean, I personally foster hospice dogs. It's one of the things that I've always done. So it's just pay attention to our social media and check out our webpage. And we've got all the information there for everybody.
And anyone who wants to become a volunteer, where can they go?
Yeah, so our website, once again, head to our website, and there is a volunteer application there. Also, we do have a short application. Transporters are really important to a rescue.
Absolutely.
Because
I forgot all about that. I should mention that.
So transporters, what we would really love right now are more transporters in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. Also transporters on kind of in between that like Gainesville, Live Oak area is we need more people in Florida. And then any transporters on the East Coast running really from like Daytona down to South Florida. We haven't been calling our transporters a lot because during the pandemic, people have been adopting and not giving up their dogs.
Yeah.
We are running into the holidays. This is our busiest time of the year where people surrender more dogs. There are also a lot more rescues in Florida than there used to be. So we don't personally get in as many fosters as we do. But often when we get in a foster dog in those states a little further north, we end up transporting them down to Tampa Bay or the Panhandle, particularly if they have like any major medical conditions or anything like that. And then sometimes when we get dogs with broken legs, we're transporting them up to our orthopedic surgeon in Virginia, who's worked with the Wow. rescue for decades. So that transport going up through those states and on the Gulf Coast of rescue is really important. So we would love to have more transporters.
That's great. You know, I had a guest on here not too long ago, and he started flying dogs all along the East Coast. I've got to hook you up with him.
Yeah, no, we have a gentleman, I think he's based out of Louisiana, and he has flown for us, gosh, over the years, probably about like 8-10 times. Really great guy. But that is those transports where you have part of the transport as a flight and it's not the whole transport, those get a little bit sketchy and it's quite a logistic nightmare because you have to have a plan B in case weather conditions don't allow for the flight to take off.
Yeah. Especially with going to all the different rescues and it's, and he just deals with rescues, but it's, he said there's like, there's a lot of logistics and pre-planning. It's not just like, hey, a flight available. And it's not to take animals to transport them personally just to go visit someone.
No, it's rescues.
It's rescues, yeah. And because someone who may be looked at in the north and everyone's, they go, okay, I think a new set of eyes need to look at them and they move them down south or they'll move them to Virginia or the Carolinas or something where another rescue organization may be able to get them seen by other people. So that's very important. So the transport's very important. And also for people who are looking to adopt, how do they go about doing that?
Just head to our website. We've got an entire online adoption application. This is what I like to tell people that are looking to adopt. If you want an Italian Greyhound that's under 3 years old, you could possibly be on our adoption list for, you know, 1 to 2 years. And some people will wait that long and we will get a dog eventually. We'll ping you every once in a while and see if you're still waiting. But the more wide open you can be on your preferences, the more quickly you move up that wait list. The other thing that we'll do too, because we recognize that especially since the beginning of the pandemic and with all of these individual rescues, people are running maybe out of their backyard and stuff, all breed stuff. You know, rescues used to transfer Italian Greyhounds to us all the time. It seems like the last few years, you know, some rescues, they don't want to transfer dogs and it doesn't matter what breed it is. And also they can use that to kind of promote their rescue getting in fancy breeds from time to time. So they have a lot of different reasons why they won't. But if you're on our approved adopt list and you see an Italian Greyhound with another rescue, you can reach out to us and we'll give you a reference. We'll forward your application. We'll forward your home visit report and we'll forward your reference checks to that other rescue and hopefully help you get that Italian Greyhound. So it's, you know, we like to work with our adopters because we recognize it might take a while to get a dog. But, you know, if you're open to seniors, if you're open to special needs, if you're open to bonded pairs, you know, the more wide open you are and the less specific you are, then the faster you move up on our wait list when we have dogs available because we'll call you up.
That's so great. And it's so good to know that you work with potential pet parents because if they want to get an Italian Greyhound and if they do see it, that's great to know that you work with them in that way. Well, I'm so happy that you adopted Olive out to us because she's changed our life. And I want to thank you for being our guest today. And thank you for sharing such great information about these little Iggies. And thank you for bringing Olive into our lives. I mean, she's on my lap. She's changed our life forever. She's like a part of my, she's my little heart dog. And anybody who sees me sees her. But I thank you for doing that, Anne-Marie, because you changed. I'll never forget the day you came over. It's like a day that for you remember things in your life. There's certain things you remember. And I remember you being at the door, and I remember you, and Olive came like right into my arms, and we were sitting together on the couch, and
that
we
was
both
a perfect
crying
match. Like, oh my God. I was like, I'm crying right now.
I know, my eyes are all welling up. We were like, and it was just so wonderful. And she's like never left my arms since. She's just,
perfect.
Yeah, it's just, I have to thank you. And that's what's so good about what you do, because you match the pet family to the little fur kid so well. This was a perfect match for us, and I know that you've done it with other people, and I thank you so much for what you do. You've changed so many of our lives by bringing these beautiful little creatures into our life. And I wanted to give a shout out to Biljack Foods, because they asked me, they're very kind, and asked me who the rescue was where we adopted Olive from. They're guests on our show frequently. And of course, I said it was you.
Yeah.
And they said, well, could we have an address? We'd like to send them a donations of some treats. And I go, sure. I thought it was going to be like a couple.
They sent so many treats.
That's so wonderful.
No, they sent like so many treats. I was calling my volunteers at the time, and they're like, you know, some of them took the treats, but they sent so many. I actually called up my friend Scott. He's a director over at Pet Pal Animal Shelter. They're a rescue shelter. Like, they rescue dogs off kill lists and stuff like that. And I was like, do you want treats? And they had just ran out of training treats.
Oh.
So I split up. I took probably about 40% of the treats over to Pet Pal, my friends at Pet Pal. And they were so thrilled to help them. So Biljack actually helped out the IG rescue and Pet Pal Animal Shelter.
I told her that. I said, Anne-Marie is, and I remember Scott. So you do fundraisers with them too. You partner really well.
Yeah, no, they're awesome. Yeah. If they get in Italian Greyhounds, they call me. And then sometimes we'll get in, we can't take Italian Greyhound mixes. We just don't have the capacity, and there's so many. So if I get somebody really in need, then I'll coordinate with Pet Pal, and sometimes they'll take the Italian Greyhound mixes. They're just wonderful. It's a wonderful shelter.
Yeah, it is, and they do so much good in the community too. But I wanted to just give a shout out to Kim and at Biljack, because they certainly do walk the walk and talk the talk, and forever thankful for them doing that. I had no idea they were going to do it. That was so wonderful. And
absolutely.
I'm so glad it positively impacted so many dogs' lives. It was great. And another thing, speaking of impacting lives, we have my little friend, Joey Superstar, Olive's foster brother.
Yeah.
And Olive's recent book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Winter Wonderland, was all about her learning about the meaning, real meaning of Christmas. And so she kind of pondered it, and she asked me in the book if I could have a couple of her friends come over. And, of course, we had Joey come over, and we went and donated to a rescue a bunch of gifts and treats and stuff. So, Joey, for those of you that have the book or those of you that are going to buy the book, the little fawn-colored Italian Greyhound with the green scarf that says Joey, it's Joey Superstar. He's here in the studio with us today.
Yes.
Yes. So, and Olive just loves him. She adores him. So, I just want to thank you so much for letting me have Joey be in the book too. I know that, I had to get a bunch of pictures from you, and Rebecca did. I said, you got to take special care of Joey. He is a certified rock star. So she gave him that rock star quality. He had little green booties on. Look at he's going, yeah.
Yeah, he just like popped his head up, and he's like, they're talking about me. What's up?
Yay.
I'm in a book. I'm a superstar.
He is. Look at, he's like going, give me the mic. I want to talk.
You're not as famous as Miss Olive, but you know, you're in the posse. You're in the posse.
You're a whole other. You're a rock star, dude. Huh? Olive's like going, that's my brother, Joey.
Oh, no. Joey's in the entourage.
He's in the entourage.
The Olive entourage.
You're such a good girl. Well, before we go, is there anything you'd like to share with the listeners that we may not have got? I mean, what you do is phenomenal. All of you at Italian Greyhound Rescue in Gulf Coast, everything that you do, and all of the things that you do to help bring attention and you know, share knowledge for Italian Greyhounds. I think it's wonderful. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us before we go?
You know what? We know a lot of people are going back to work. So I would say if you're kind of struggling with that, with your Italian Greyhound, you can reach out to a rescue and ask for me to give you a call. I'm happy to provide you with some counseling on how to navigate that process. Also, we're coming into our busiest time of the year for surrenders. People are going on vacation for the holidays, and they're going to give their dogs up, unfortunately, some people that do that. And so just want to give a shout out to our amazing volunteers, our transporters, Heather and Megan, and, you know, everybody that's going to be working hard these holidays to help save these kids. So thank you to all of us. Like, I just do a small part, and by everybody doing their own part, we make it happen. So we've got the best volunteers. So thank you to all of our volunteers in advance.
And that's, on behalf of the Iggies everywhere, Joey Superstar and Olive, say thank you. Thank you, Anne-Marie, and all the volunteers and everyone at Italian Greyhound Rescue Gulf Coast. Olive's gone. Yeah, that's quite a lot to say, Mom. So thank you so much, and we wish you and Joey and all of the Iggies a very happy holiday.
Thank you. You too.
And we will be back in just a minute. We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
That's all for this episode of The Doggy Diva Show. To find out more, go to our website, thedoggydiva.com. Also, find us on our Facebook page, The Doggy Diva Show, and tell your fellow dog lovers about it. Don't miss Susan Marie, Miss Olive, and the Doggy Divas right here for the next episode. See you again soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.